Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, the program that examines the news through the lens of biblical and spiritual truth. I'm Nathan Liao, and the website is watchmanscry.com. Today on this program, we're going to present the beginning of a very large undertaking. The election is a very important topic right now for many people, and in order for me to cover the substance that needs to be presented, it's going to take a while. So this is going to be a series of several programs, and I believe that it's probably going to take 3 to 5 hours. This is going to be part one. Part two will be made available within a few days because we have pre-recorded several of the parts. I'm just finishing up some of the editing, and I'm also having to add a few sound bites and news clips so that the substance of the topic and the issue of this election will not be hearsay, rumor, opinion, but it will be based on facts. It will be based on the actual words of the people that are involved. So welcome to this program. And I want to ask all of you that are listening to this series to take these matters to heart, take them to prayer, ask the Holy Spirit. And folks, the things that you hear, confirm them. A lot of the information about the present election is based on hearsay. It's based on words that, in my opinion, lack substance. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't just base our planning and our wisdom on words that have no substance. We have to have the truth. And that's what we do on this program. We bring truth to the table, and we examine the truth through the biblical and spiritual lens. Now, in order to be able to bring all this information, I have asked Donna, my lovely wife, to come on board and help me. She has been absent for a few weeks because she was ill and she had a malady that occurred with her with a ruptured cyst, but she's better now, and we're just going to move forward. She's here, and we're just going to go ahead and hit the ground running and tackle all of this information. So Donna is joining me today. Donna, say hello to the listeners.
Hello, listeners.
You feeling better?
I feel much better. Thank you.
You're pretty much recovered, right?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay. That was a few weeks ago where we had the scare, but now you're better. You went to the hospital. We had a lot of people praying for us, and now, for the most part, Donna is feeling almost recovered?
Almost 100%.
Okay, that's great. So Donna is here now, and we're going to talk about the election. And Donna, off the air, for the past few weeks, we've been doing massive research, haven't we?
We've spent a lot of time harvesting information about the situation that our country's in this election.
Yes, we have. And right now, the nation of America is witnessing a very interesting presidential campaign, Donna.
It is, and it is shaping up to be one of the most divisive that this nation has experienced in a while.
To bring comments about this thing does erupt at times. It touches a lot of buttons, doesn't it? We're going to talk about that on this program, and we need to address these things because right now a lot of people are getting offended when they hear opposite information about their candidate. A lot of people are very passionate. It can get pretty ugly, can't it?
It is divisive because a lot of people out there believe in their candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you challenge their candidate or the legitimacy of their favorite candidate, well, they're going to get mad, and those are fighting words for them.
They are fighting words. And this is not only happening in the secular political world. Donna, we are watching this happen in real time in the body of Christ, in the Christian church.
We are, and it's happening with the evangelicals. It's also occurring in the remnant body of Christ. There are so many different opinions out there.
Over the past few months, we have experienced a turn of events with the remnant body of Christ when it has to do with the alternative media and our colleagues. And we are finding out that not all of us are on the same page as far as theologies, end time beliefs, and the standard. There's a lot of different levels out there, and I thought we were all on the same page, Donna, but apparently we're not. I thought that a lot of people would understand that being that we're in the end times, we're going to see a lot of things taking place that are deceptive. But it appears there are folks out there that are not understanding what time it is, Donna, and Wow, you've been getting attacked on Facebook. You're just trying to talk truth.
I'm trying to be the voice of reason.
And when we consider and we address politics based on human opinion, when we leave out scripture or we leave out who we are in Christ, we leave out the standard of God, the principles of God, the Ten Commandments, end time prophecy. If we approach politics from the standpoint of an opinion,
mm-hmm.
everyone has one.
Yes.
And the opinions are going to be all over the place.
And as remnant Christians, it really doesn't matter what our opinion is. If it's based on things that aren't true, we need to base all of our opinions on what does God say.
On what the Bible says. So ladies and gentlemen, in this late hour, we need the truth. Does the truth matter, Donna?
It does, yes.
I'm noticing that on a lot of programs that are out there, you know, radio programs, blog talk,
YouTubes.
There's a lot of folks out there giving their opinions and statements that are based on limited information or wrong information, erroneous information. But ladies and gentlemen, it is not your charge. When Jesus said, watch, be vigilant. Satan is lurking about, trying to cause you to stumble, trying to cause you to fail, trying to destroy you and your family. We have to have our eyes open. And that requires not opinion, but having the truth. Donna, that means we have to have the right information, the
yes.
true information.
And be willing to hear the true information.
Ladies and gentlemen, today on this program and in this series, I am going to present information that's going to challenge the voices. And I have a lot of information that I'm going to present that is true. However, some of it is going to flow against the tide. It's going to go against the grain. It's going to go upstream against the popular reports that are out there. And this is a very volatile area because it is not easy for me to present some of this information because we have colleagues out there who we have done programs with. I have been on certain programs of colleagues over the years, and some of them have been on my program. And right now, I'm witnessing something that is, I don't know how to put it. Is it disturbing? Is it sad? Is it confusing? Is it disappointing? I don't get it. I don't know what the right word is. And ladies and gentlemen, as I present this information, I want to do my best to do it as loving and as gracious as possible because some folks out there mean well. They also want to present the truth, or at least I hope they are. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but it pains us to have to do this program because it may be taken as malicious, an attack against them. If they happen to listen to this program, Donna, they may take it as an attack, that we're attacking them or what they're doing or their motives, and we're not doing any of that.
We can't toe the line just because they want it towed. We have to say what is true. That's all we can do.
So, ladies and gentlemen, brethren of the faith, as you listen to this program, please know that we do it with the utmost sincerity from the bottom of our heart. Now, if perchance some of those who are out there have programs and you're listening to this, you may hear information that possibly differs than what you have been presenting. With the guests that you have been having or what you are proposing, you may hear an opposite point of view, but please, if it's possible, take it to prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit about it, because it may be possible that you are in error. It may be possible that you're making a mistake, and it may be possible that the things that you're presenting, how do I say it nice, Donna? Have no biblical merit? How do you say it?
I don't think you can address them directly and them perceive it as nice.
Are you saying that no matter how I present it, it's going to be hard for them to hear it?
Yes, and it's not about being nice. We're not trying to be nice or not nice. We're trying to be honest and truthful and stick by what the Word of God says. That's what we're trying to do, and that's all we can do.
So our agenda?
Jesus and the truth. That's our only agenda.
Thank you, Donna. Now, over the past few weeks, we've heard a few programs from other colleagues.
Yes.
Including in the regular media, we have heard statements and things said about the present Trump campaign. And I've heard it said that the present Trump campaign is the most divisive in American history. Donna, we've heard people say that?
Yes, I've heard people say that.
And I've also heard it said that Donald Trump is being attacked more than any other candidate in American history.
I've heard that too.
Now, I took the liberty, because when someone makes a statement
like that.
I am motivated and prompted to do some fact-checking.
As we all should.
So, regarding the statements that Donald Trump is being attacked more than any other candidate in American history...
That's just not true. It's not true. This is not the worst campaign ever in history. There have been other elections that have been way dirtier than this one.
Exactly, Donna. And for the sake of truth, the present election is not the only divisive campaign that America has witnessed in her lifetime. Because divisive campaigns have occurred throughout American history. That's what politics are. They get dirty.
They do.
They're ugly.
From the very get-go, they were ugly. And it's easy to confirm this. Just do an internet search using the keywords, the most divisive presidential campaigns. You'll find that in the last 200 years, there have been presidential campaigns that were very nasty.
Now, is this a matter of opinion? Maybe some of it is, but it's easy to find, Donna. Ladies and gentlemen, all you got to do is get online and do it. And when I did some research, it brought up that Andrew Jackson, when he was running, he campaigned against John Quincy Adams, and that thing was horribly nasty. Now, Jackson came from a poor upbringing. He wasn't wealthy, but John Quincy Adams was.
Mm-hmm.
And Adams insulted Andrew Jackson's wife because his wife had been married before. And he said that Jackson's wife, the wife that he had...
was a harlot. He called her a harlot, a dirty black wench, a convicted adulteress. I mean, could you imagine if somebody said that today?
A dirty black wench. Donald Trump's wife is a dirty black wench. Would that get by, Donna?
No, I don't think so.
Obama's wife. I mean, could you say that?
No, you can't say those kinds of things.
In fact, the newspapers at the time, Donna, when we were researching, they actually claimed that Jackson was a mulatto, that his parents were African-American, was in his bloodline.
And in that day, that would have been considered quite an insult.
That he was a mulatto child, Andrew Jackson. By the way, he won the election, but that went on. And then there were other campaigns that were pretty ugly.
There was the Lincoln versus Douglas. There was Cleveland versus Blaine. Hoover versus Al Smith.
Now that one's interesting, Donna. The Al Smith, Herbert Hoover. There was a conspiracy theory against the Democrat Al Smith.
Okay. Al Smith, he was a Democrat, but he was also Catholic. And the Republicans spread the conspiracy theory that Smith had commissioned a 3,500-mile underground tunnel from New York to the Vatican. And the purpose of it was so that the Pope would be able to communicate with the presidential hopeful Smith and be involved in his administration if he won.
So I guess he would get in some kind of a little Pope-mobile or some kind of...
ride under the ocean all the way.
Under the Atlantic.
Yes.
And supposedly it started in the Holland Tunnel in New York City, and it went from the Holland Tunnel to the Vatican. Even back then, tunnels, underground tunnels.
Yeah.
But that was on the papers. That was out there. So,
and imagine that race was very Protestant, Catholic, at each other's throats.
It got ugly.
Yeah.
So, yes, right now the Trump campaign, the Trump election is very divisive. And yes, he has received a lot of criticism.
Hillary has received a lot of criticism.
As well.
Rightfully so.
By the way, thanks for bringing up Hillary. Donna, do we want Hillary to win? Just for the record, because
no.
I have noticed that when we say anything that brings substance
or truth
about Trump, people say, well, would you rather have Hillary? What's wrong with you? Do you want Bernie? And that is absurd. We are not saying any of that. You know, Harrison Ford just came out today. And what did he say, Donna? Who does he want?
I saw a meme on Facebook and it said, had a picture of a donkey with a circle and a cross, a line through it, and then an elephant with a circle and a line, and then just a person standing on the end. And it said, don't vote for either party.
Harrison Ford gets it.
Yeah.
Han Solo gets it.
Yeah.
He understands that the Empire is controlled by the Darths out there.
They're all on the same side.
They're all on the same side. Nathan, how dare you? Donald Trump is a billionaire outsider. Even though he rubs shoulders with the richest people on the planet, he is an outsider. Even though he knows the very elite of this world and has made deals with them, he's an outsider. Donna, that's what some people are saying.
I keep hearing that.
Ladies and gentlemen, before you turn off this program, before you change that dial, please listen to this whole program first, because we have the information. And speaking of Trump and his election being divisive, right now he's receiving a lot of criticism. But the criticism against Donald Trump is not happening in a vacuum. Folks, let's be honest here. If we went back in time, Donna, if we got in a time machine and went backwards to, say, 4 years ago, and if we were to ask the average American on the street what they thought of Donald Trump 4 years ago, 2012, what would the answer be? Would people say, Donald Trump, yeah, he's a man's man? Would they say he's the greatest political choice of the 21st century? Would they say that? Would they say he's noble? Would they say that guy is honest? He is a seeker of truth and integrity. He is trustworthy.
His word is his bond.
His word is his bond. Would they say that, Donna?
Well, I don't think his first wife would say that.
Or his second?
Or even his second.
What kind of things would we hear?
Well, I know what we would hear because I've heard it. I've heard it said that he's a liar. I've heard it said that he's a great showman. I've heard that he's pompous, a betrayer. He's a swindler. I've heard that he's arrogant. I've also heard him called immature. I could go on and on the things that I've heard people say in the past about Donald Trump. But suddenly, in the eyes of all these people, he's been transformed into some kind of political messiah who can now do no wrong.
Donna, those are strong words, but that's what it seems like, right?
He's being deified.
But 4 years ago, he was a cartoon.
Yes.
He was on The Simpsons.
I want to hear him say, you're fired. Everybody would laugh and, you know, oh, that's funny. You're fired.
How did this happen? And Donna, is it true that those things that people thought of him 4 years ago are now totally opposite? And is it true that he is going to save this country? Is it true that he is now suddenly transformed as a man of his word? I've read some prophecies, and they say that Trump is a man of his word, that he doesn't lie, that he's going to bring truth to the world. He's going to expose evil. He's going to be the light in the darkness. He's going to tear down the gates of hell. If people are saying that, Donna, we need to use discernment, and we need to confirm if it's true. And when I hear these types of claims from the man that several years ago was the opposite of this, we got to visit it. Because if it's not true, but people are being told that it is, if we stay silent, Donna, what does that make us?
It makes us complicit. And he's just a man. He's just a politician. He is no different than any other politician. He has an agenda.
Well, the agenda's on his hat.
Yeah, his name.
Trump, make America great again. That's his agenda. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Donna, right now the evangelical church world is experiencing, it's a divisive split over this man, Donald Trump.
They are, and it's also happening in the remnant community.
What is driving this? I have to ask this question. What is driving this split? What is driving the passion? What is driving the absolute assurance that some people have that he is going to bring these great things to the table? What is fueling this? You know, Donna, there have been several positive prophecies that have been published over the past few months. Not just one or two. There's been a few.
There have.
Some of them go back a few years. And these positive prophecies say that Donald Trump is going to be able to pull it off. He's going to rescue us. And some of them have even said that he's going to lead us to triumph. Some of them have stated that he is Nebuchadnezzar. He's Cyrus the Wrecking Ball. He's God's anointed.
He's going to knock down the gates of hell and bring victory to the church in America. I can't get my head around that one.
And there's one of them, Donna, that this one, I don't know if it was a prophecy or just an opinion, but a very popular prosperity gospel preacher out there has been going on.
It's going on alternative radio shows.
He said that Donald Trump is going to delay the end time New World Order. What do you think of that?
Well, we've heard those claims. We've read about them, but we've also prayed about them, and we've sought God about them, and we've done research and research and more research on Donald Trump. And we found out a few things.
We have found out a few things. And without using our prophetic, discerning Holy Ghost radar, just in the natural, the research that we have found out about Trump and about his coming presidency should not only give you and I pause, but it should give great pause and concern to everybody listening. Because, well, it's going to take a while to present all this information, but the stuff we have found on it, it should be concerning to every person out there that lives in the United States, that has a family, and even outside the borders of the United States. They should be concerned because It seems that daily more information is coming forward. Now that he has the nomination, he's starting to let us know who his team's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as the names are surfacing and we're able to research and do a background check on them, it's very easy, Donna. It's very simple math. And
yes,
a picture is now forming. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, Donna, it's easy for someone to say Trump is going to do this, this, and this.
Because he's an outsider.
Because he's an outsider. But if we lay that on the table and say he's going to do great things, really, he is based on what? Well, he just is. And if we were to ask the person saying it, but what are you basing that claim on if they say just my positive thoughts? Because on Facebook, people have even said that. You just need to be positive that he's going to do it. But now that we see the picture forming of his team, his advisors, his administration, those he has asked to join him, those that he is tapping for different positions, those that he's forming even now new administrative commissions,
mm-hmm.
and he has mentioned names of individuals who are forming a picture. And the picture that I'm seeing is not pretty.
It's not a picture of outsiders.
It's not. We are seeing CFR people, Bilderberg people, globalist supporting individuals, neocon, warmongering, military industrial complex supporters. Donna, we're seeing all of those names that are involved in the mess from George Bush.
Yeah.
And some of the support.
Bill Clinton.
Some of the Clintons.
Yeah.
From both sides.
Yeah.
We're seeing those same names now coming forward to be a part of the Trump administration. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are not bringing this information in a vacuum. This is not hearsay. This is real information. So, Donna, when we lay it on the table, and then when we also add spiritual discernment, then we start seeing a picture. And then when we add what the Bible has to say about the end times, then we start getting a full 3-4-dimensional image of what's coming. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be after the truth. And in about 9 to 12 months from now, if Trump wins, if he wins.
But if he's up against Hillary, I don't see how he can't win.
Okay, so let's say he's going to win. Let's say he wins. In 9 to 12 months, now the election, where are we? We're in May, middle of May, June, July. So what do we have, about 6 months approximately till the election?
Mm-hmm.
If he wins, and then another 2 months for the inauguration. So we have 8 months. So in 9 months, 9 to 12 months, we're going to all know the truth about Donald Trump and what type of administration he's going to have. The truth about Donald Trump is going to be known by all of us.
It is going to be known by all of us. I would hazard a guess that we're going to do well at first when he's president. And things will look like they're good for us, even though it's really all the same old people. But just like at the beginning of Obama's administration, where things seemed quite well for the other side, and then Obama started failing them also.
So you're saying initially there may be a recovery or a kind of recovery or what appears to be a recovery or a prosperity? You're saying possibly that could happen?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, now if Hillary wins, forget about it. Ladies and gentlemen, if Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders wins, get your house in order, because Donna, all of Satan's minions from hell are going to surface the earth. All hell is going to break loose with a Hillary administration. And the same applies to Sue Sanders. So I'm not for those people. So anyway, Donna, I believe that we've laid the foundation of what we're doing here. And granted, some of the information that we're going to share may not bring peace or joy. It's probably not. Donna, I don't think it's going to make them feel good to some of the listeners that are out there, because there are some who have decided that no matter what they hear, Donald Trump's going to save America and make it great.
By the way, what exactly does make America great again mean? I don't really understand.
You know, we were talking about that, Donna, when over, was it breakfast a few days ago or dinner? Where were we when we were talking about it?
Yeah, I think it was breakfast.
What? Because on Facebook, someone had stated,
yes,
he's going to make America great. And then you had answered, but what does that mean? So that's a good question. When we hear Donald Trump speaking, it sounds like the reality of people once again having jobs is what qualifies to make America great. Is that what it is, Donna? Jobs are what make the country great? Or controlling immigration, is that what makes America great? Is that all there is, ladies and gentlemen, to what makes America great? If some of you have listened to his rhetoric and his promises and, you know, his campaign model, and it sounds good, I understand. I have kids too. I want to see America be strong for our children.
But I would ask and say, what about the present moral decay that we have in this country? Is that not part of America being great again? Does it only boil down to fiscal success and a great economy? Is that what makes our country great? Because prosperity has not held back the slippery slope of sin in this country. What about confused people wanting to use the bathroom of the opposite gender? Is that going to be done away with and fixed? You know, are we going to stop gay marriage and reverse all that? What about abortion? And beyond abortion, what about taking an unborn child, aborting it whole so you can chop it up into little bits and sell it off to the highest bidder? What about that? Is that going to stop? Because I don't care how well this country is doing financially. If we are still chopping up human babies and selling them for money, we are in moral decline. And we are not a great nation. If jobs return, but the moral indiscretions that I just mentioned stayed, would America be great?
Well, Donna, that's not mentioned, though. He's staying away from that. And this is the part that is confusing to me, or frustrating, or disturbing. I don't know. Pick a word. Evangelicals are cheering that he's going to make America great, but these things you just mentioned are not a part of the rhetoric. So why are they leaving that out? And even the leadership of the church. We have pastors now who are pastors of large churches, very famous individuals. Mm-hmm. Jerry Falwell's son has stated that this is all going to happen. He's behind it. And there's pastors that are now joining in this, that it's going to make America great. But these things are being left out. So you're right.
They're just talking about the almighty dollar.
So it's about jobs.
It's about money.
Money makes America great.
Yeah.
Now, Donald Trump did say that he's going to make the military strong and powerful so that no one will mess with us.
And when that happens, will it mean that America is great, or will it mean that America is militaristic?
Well, he's going to make the military strong.
Well, Russia has a strong military. China has a strong military. Did that make them great?
These are valid questions. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to give a word that tickles the ears, because if it's not true, then what good is it? And today this country's in a mess. A lot of people are hoping that Donald Trump is going to fix the mess. Donna, I have heard a lot of his promises and his hopeful words, and some of them sound good. To bring back jobs, yeah, who would argue with that? But some of the things that he has said sound scary. Donna, he has said disturbing things during the last few months.
Like maybe killing people? Or he said things like killing families of bad people, having assassinations. He's mentioned plundering other countries, stifling the freedom of the press. He's mentioned raising taxes. And also, he's mentioned using executive orders for his policies.
Donna, some people may say, what are you talking about? They may cry foul. They may raise their hand and say, Donna, what do you mean? We have heard him say these things.
Yes, from his own mouth.
We have them on record. It's very easy to find out. So today, we're going to share some of them. And ladies and gentlemen, please know that, I know I keep saying this over and over, but we are not against him. We're not against America, and we're not against hope. Donna, we have kids, we have a family, but what are we against?
We're against deception, and we're against lies, because the father of lies is Satan, not Jesus.
And we're also against the confusion that's out there, because we don't like to see God's people confused or deceived, and it seems that right now it's happening, and it's disconcerting to see it.
And it's frustrating to see people who, you know, are supposed to base their opinions and thoughts on scripture fall for that if we are fiscally doing well in this country, then all is well. You know, if you go by that standard, then you would have to say, well, Hugh Hefner, wow, he's a blessed man. But he's not. Money doesn't mean you're blessed. That is not a sign of a strong, moral, great society.
The almighty dollar. Now, Donna, I mentioned a moment ago about some of the prosperity preachers, and I've noticed the mixture continues. I thought that when the Bible says, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, do not be conformed to this world, and some of that, the charlatan shenanigans that have been taking place for years. You know, there's a lot of listeners out there who have left the organized American church because of the corruption.
Yeah.
They witnessed the deceptive invasion of the prosperity gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you left the church because you witnessed it. You witnessed the deceptive invasion of the prosperity gospel, and that's why you went into the wilderness. You said, I've had enough of this. It's a lie. These people are charlatans. They are just about the money. They bring shame. They bring false prophecies. They bring false words. And many of the prosperity preachers who were part of the deception are widely known. And one of them is Rodney Howard Brown. He hangs out with the Copelands and the others, and he has been a part of several deceptive church movements. And this is the thing I don't get, Donna. For reasons I cannot understand, he has become a regular guest on several Watchman-type programs. And he has been allowed the microphone to share his views. Never mind that in the past, he has been a part of the deceptive prosperity gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't get this. Donna, how can this be? And maybe some of the listeners are asking the same questions. Maybe some of them have noticed it. But why do some of the others who are supposed to be warning from the wall see the need to interview charlatans? Now, at best, perhaps it was an oversight. Is that it? Or do they not know better? Or is it a lack of discernment? Whatever it is, Donna, I have to call it out. Rodney Howard Brown, you remember him, the Holy Ghost bartender? That's what he calls himself. Rodney Howard Brown is associated with weird movements, and he has said some pretty absurd things. And he recently went into one of the Watchman-type programs, and while some of the things that he said I agreed with, as far as the New World Order and the United States being corrupt, etc., but he stated that he's endorsing Donald Trump, and he gave the reasons why, and one of them is because Donald Trump is going to slow down the arrival of the Antichrist, because Donald Trump is a threat to the New World Order and the one world government. In other words, according to Rodney Howard Brown, Donald Trump is going to delay the coming of the Antichrist. Now, while that may sound good, how do we know it's true? Is it true? And here's another thing that I have to ask. What if? I had an article recently that said, what if? What if Donald Trump is the Antichrist? What if he is the little horn? What if he is the villain, that guy? Well, Nathan, that doesn't line up with the findings that I have done as far as end time Bible prophecy, because the Antichrist is going to be this, this, and this. And I know that there are folks out there who have studied and they lean in a certain direction, but what if it's wrong? What if the findings are wrong? And what if Donald Trump is the little horn? What if he is the last Trump? And besides that, why should we be listening to someone who's a charlatan? Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't believe what I heard when he said it. And others have gone on similar programs and prophesied great hopeful words about Donald Trump. And as I hear about these prophecies, part of me says, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Part of me thinks that, Donna.
Yeah.
But there's another part of me that finds itself agitated and disturbed. Why? That's not what the Holy Ghost has been telling us for the last few years. That is not the witness that we have received from visitations from the Holy Ghost. And that is not what we find in Scripture about the end time weather that's going to be taking place. So, bottom line, I don't believe it.
Well, all of a sudden, I find that the entire remnant, well, not the entire, but a lot of the remnant community believes that there's going to be some amazing spiritual victories coming up. When I read Revelation, I don't see that. I can't find that in Scripture.
You mean the seven mountain dominionist kingdom now, NAR, New Apostolic
Reformation lie?
Theology, and it is a lie. That is a lie. The seven mountain dominionist movement is a lie. I don't find it in Scripture, because when we read Matthew 24, there is no dominion seven mountain victory going on in there. Donna,
no.
Jesus said, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Many will come in my name and deceive many. You will hear wars, rumors of war. It's going to be bad.
Times and then will be bad, yes.
It's going to get dark. Matthew 25, we see the parable about the virgins, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. But the end time weather is not going to be victorious, where we're taking over Hollywood, where the church is taking over the seven mountains, the systems
with
that are out there.
Sunshine and daisies.
The systems, Donna.
Yeah.
They say government and education and politics and
Hollywood
is going to be taken over by the American church, and victory is going to bring Christianity to those systems. The Bible does not say that.
No, it does not say that.
So because of that, that's why I have to say I don't believe those prophecies that say Donald Trump is going to bring these great flowery, shiny things to America.
And he's not going to turn back the time that we're living in. We are living in a time of judgment, and he's not going to turn that back.
Now, what about the person hearing us right now, Donna, and they could say, how do you know? How do you know that Trump isn't going to do it?
Because the Bible doesn't say that's what's going to happen in the end times. It does not say that. Not in one spot in the Bible does it say that. The only trumps I find in the book of Revelation are the trumpets of judgment.
And that's why we don't believe these flowery affirmation, affirmative type prophecies about Trump. They don't bear witness with what we have seen. And as I stated, in the next hour, in the next segment, we're going to break down some of these prophecies. That's coming, ladies and gentlemen. But before we do that, in the next segment, I want to spend the remaining portion of this session talking about what God has shown me is coming to this world and to America. Donna, over the past few years of Watchman's Cry, I have been privileged to be witness to a few things. And some of the things that God has shown me are a combination of what we can find in the scriptures, in Bible prophecy, in end time prophecy, and through prophetic glimpses, prophetic dreams that I have been privileged to experience and witness. Over the years, I have seen some things with my spiritual eyes, and Donna, I'm not the only one. God showed you a few glimpses here and there, and he has also shown our listeners.
Yes, he has.
Many of you have seen or had discernment, or you've had promptings by the Holy Spirit. You've been shown by the Holy Ghost that things are coming. Some of you have seen it, and it's not pretty, and it is not great. And the Holy Spirit told me several years ago that Lamentations was coming to America. He told me that in the year 2009, I was laying in bed when I had been injured. Remember when I was crippled with my busted knee, and I had gone to take a nap, and when I was falling asleep, trying to take my nap, the Holy Spirit said it. I started doing programs on it. I started researching Lamentations, and that took me through a journey of discovery, learning about judgment, learning about the ministry of Jeremiah and what took place when Jerusalem was under siege. The Holy Ghost took me through a wilderness school of what judgment means, what it's about, what the fourfold judgment means. And over the years, I have been sharing those things. I have been sharing the findings. They're in the scripture, but I've been sharing what he's shown me. And there are thousands and tens of thousands of listeners out there that bear witness with these words because God has also shown them the same thing. God has shown a lot of people that sadness is coming to America, that Lamentations is coming to America. He has shown a lot of people the same message. By the way, side note, I got an email, I think it was about a year ago. Someone wrote me, and I don't know why they were mad or angry, but they said, Nathan, that statement, Lamentations is coming to America, you stole that from me. That didn't originate from you. You plagiarized that statement. How dare you? Shame on you.
Steal from them. It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. You know, the end time message of darkness is in the Bible, and God, the Holy Spirit, is showing tens of thousands of people that same message. So when one person gets the same message from the Holy Ghost as another one, they are not plagiarizing one another.
Isn't that what God told Elijah? I have more than you. You're not the only one.
Yes, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not the only one that God has shown that Lamentations is coming, but I have been sharing it. But that doesn't mean I stole it from somebody. That's absurd. But that's the kind of activity and behavior that's out there in internet land, Donna. I don't get it, but I guess that's the way it is. But nevertheless, that's a side note. The Holy Spirit has shown Nathan Liao, me, that sadness and grief and woe and sorrow and mourning and Lamentations is coming to the land. In addition to that insight, I have also seen prophetic glimpses of the coming grief and lament. And if Donald Trump wins the presidential election, Donna, then based on what I've seen, he's going to contribute to the coming grief and lament.
Yes, and the fracturing.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Now, again, I don't know if he is going to win, but I have a feeling that he might. So I want to share now, Donna, we're going to segue now into a warning from the wall. And this warning is going to apply to America if he wins and to the world. Now, if he doesn't win, then the warning still applies. What I'm about to share still applies. Now, Donna, I have a few new prophetic glimpses that I've received over the last few months. You know about them. I have been seeking God about them. They have been incubating in my spirit. I have been trying to find clarity on them. You and I have discussed them. We've talked about them. We've tried to find truth in Scripture about them. We have sought to know about them. So for the first time, right now, I'm going to share several of them. And I'm also going to share something that occurred with our family just a few weeks ago that has great, profound meaning to it. So ladies and gentlemen, if you have a pen and paper, if you want to take notes, please take notes. If you have any clarity, if the Holy Spirit bears witness or gives you some thoughts on what I'm about to share, please feel free to write Watchman Cry, write us, and let us know your thoughts. Now, if you're a regular listener, you may be aware that this ministry has shared many prophetic warnings over the years. Several of them are in motion. Donna, since 2008, the poison water,
yes.
Recently the oil crash, derailed train several years ago, the drought in the South, the fractured Republican Party that you had just mentioned, trumpeting elephants, the division that was coming to the Republican Party. I've shared that over the years.
You have, yes.
The Paris attacks, mm-hmm. That was shared a year in advance, and others.
Right.
So I don't share my prophetic warnings in a vacuum. I share them in the fear of God as a servant of God to warn his people. That's why we do this. So to begin, first I want to do a flashback of two prophetic dreams that I shared several years ago. And there's a reason for that, because some of those prophetic dreams that go way back have significance even now. They're starting to have more relevance even now. And the first one was a dream that I had. It was over 5 years ago, Donna, about the eagle and the fox vision that I had. You remember that?
I do remember it.
And the interesting thing about that prophetic dream was that the American bald eagle morphed into something different. Let me just give it a quick synopsis of it, Donna, mm-hmm. for review for those
yeah.
who aren't familiar. In this prophetic dream, I was looking at our chicken coop. I was outside. We live in the country. I was looking at our chicken coop that was surrounded by a fence, and an eagle had flown into the chicken yard. It landed on the ground, and it was very frail and skinny, and it looked like it was about to die. It was starving. So as I approached the chicken yard, it was crawling with its wings. And it went to one of the nesting boxes, and it reached into the nesting box with its wing, and it broke some of the eggs, and it pulled its wing out, and it started licking the yolk on its wing. At the top of its wing was a little claw like a bat wing has, and as it kept licking the yolk, it had its health return. It stood up, and it turned orange. It turned into an orange eagle, orangey gold.
Mm-hmm.
It stood up. Its back was to me, and then it turned and looked at me, and its head turned into the head of a fox, and it smiled, and the dream was over. And over the years, I have shared that dream. It has several layers to it. One of the base truths about this dream was the nest eggs of America are going to be robbed by the bald eagle, the American eagle. In other words, retirement funds are going to be robbed from the people. In layman's terms, they're going to be federalized and stolen at some point in the future. A mandate is going to be determined where retirement funds will be federalized. That's going to happen at some point in the future. But the other thing that's interesting about this was that the American eagle morphed into an orange golden eagle, and it had bat wings. Why did it turn gold? I've always wondered about that. Why was it orange? And what was the fox all about? So move forward to another prophetic dream that I had. And this one was a few years ago in 2014, where I saw the two-lane highway, and I was in the right lane. And I came to a crater hole in the lane, so I went around it. And when I got into the left lane and I was traveling slow, elephants appeared on the right lane and they were walking, holding each other's tail like you see in a circus. Mm-hmm. And then something spooked them and they all started running and they started trumpeting. They were panicked and they had these red blankets on their back. And they started running faster until they were going 35 to 40 miles an hour. And then there was an exit ramp and many of the elephants took the exit to the right. For the past few years, I have understood portions of that, but even in the congressional midterm election that occurred several years ago, I have shared that the Republican Party is going to be fractured and it's not going to save us because of that dream. Now, the trumpeting part of their panic, I didn't understand 2 years ago,
yeah.
But now I do. They were trumpeting.
Makes a lot more sense now.
Because of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party also had a big hole in it. They were panicked. They exited. So a mass exodus of the Republican Party and a fracturing and a panic was going to occur because of the trumpeting, because of Donald Trump. That's happening right now.
It is, yes.
Also, They were wearing red blankets. Red blankets on an elephant, in addition to the Republican Party. If you look at history, if you do a search on Google of elephants with red blankets, you will find throughout history there have been war elephants that have been used. Mm-hmm. So that represents war. So that prophetic dream has panicked elephants. They are trumpeting, so Trump is involved, but we have panic and a fracturing take place, and we have war. That's why when I hear Donald Trump say he's going to make America great, but he's also stated we're going to have the most powerful military so that no one messes with us, how do we know that our powerful military is not going to mess with others? When Trump says he wants to take resources from other countries, for example.
Only one way to do that, and that's with war.
It's with war. He says we're going to take the oil. That will require a very powerful military. It will require plundering of the world. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment, Donna. We're going to go into detail on that. But make note of this, folks. Based on this picture, this prophetic picture that is forming, I am very concerned that if Trump wins, expect war. Now, in the last day or two, we have seen Trump's supporters, his donors, his super PAC donors, Political Action Committee donors, billionaires who are donating to him. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But it has just come out that one of the donors that has pledged $100 million to his campaign is a warmonger. He's a neocon warmonger. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Also, it has come forward that Donald Trump is rubbing shoulders with CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, people. He's rubbing shoulders with them, Donna. He has met with them, and he has actually publicly stated that they're his friends.
Mr. Trump, you've repeatedly deflected calls for specific national security or defense policy plans with the claim that you'll ask the best people when you become president and take their advice. So who are the best people? Can you reveal two or three names that you trust for national security?
I think Richard Haass is excellent. I have a lot of respect for him.
Richard Haass is president of the Council on Foreign Relations. Richard, we've been hearing for the better part of a year about Iran and its potential ability to develop.
I think Richard Haass is excellent. I think Richard Haass is excellent. I think Richard Haass is excellent.
Donna, the people out there who are hearing that Donald Trump is an outsider and he's going to make America great, we have the proof that he is rubbing shoulders with insiders.
Well, we all know you can't get elected in this country unless they're on your side.
Okay, now moving on to the next prophetic dream. And ladies and gentlemen, this prophetic glimpse that I had 5 months ago, I've never shared. This is going to be the first time. And in the coming days, I will also make an article about it. It will be placed up on the website. But about 5 months ago, the Lord showed me something in the spiritual realm. It was a night vision. And in it, I was standing in Idaho where I live, and I was facing north. I know that it was north, Donna, in my prophetic dreams. North and south and east and west are very prominent. I'm always aware of those directions. So I was facing north, and I saw very far in the distance to the north something flying in the air. As it got closer, at first it looked like a pterodactyl that was gliding, because all I could make out were the bat wings on a very large body. Mm-hmm. And as it got closer, I began to see more detail. Eventually, it was about 500 feet away in distance, and maybe a few hundred feet in the air, but then it went behind some trees, but then it got closer until it was right over me. So I was looking straight up, and I could see it. It was about 200 feet in the air. It did not look at me. It was looking forward, but it was a creature. It was not a pterodactyl, but it was a very large gargoyle-looking creature with bat wings. It had a human body. And here's the thing that was weird, Donna. And I told you this when I woke up. I said, Donna, this is the weirdest looking thing. It was orange.
I remember that.
And its skin was leathery, and its face was golden orange. Its head looked weird because it was a square looking head, like it had a crew cut, but it was a square shaped face. But I found it very odd that its wings were golden orange. And then the dream was over. And when I woke up, I asked God about it. And over the last few months, Donna, and I have shared this with you, the Holy Ghost has revealed, and I said this to you, that it was a principality that is coming over the land, an actual fallen angel, demonic, evil spirit principality coming over the land of America. Now, for the listeners out there who may struggle with what I'm saying, Paul tells us in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of darkness of this world, in the heavens. Principalities are allowed to be in control over different regions, like the prince of Persia that we see in the book of Daniel, who fought the angels. Remember that?
Yes, and they're not good beings.
They are in charge of different areas. This world is fallen, and for right now, that's the spiritual political structure that God allows right now. Principalities are allowed to be over regions. And this principality that I saw, Donna, it was very powerful. And this is the other thing. I asked God about it. Who is he? This is what I've gotten so far, because we're watching it in real time, Donna. This principality has a skill of deception. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me when I say this. And this can be confirmed by the scriptures. The Bible tells us in the end times, deception will confuse and trick and cause God's people to stumble.
Yes.
A spirit of delusion will be allowed to invade the land because the people did not have a love for the truth. Therefore, God sent a spirit of delusion. God says it. So this principality that I saw, Donna, it entered from the north. It entered our country, and it has now gone across the entire nation. I fully believe that this thing is one of the reasons that many people are falling for Donald Trump. There is a spirit of delusion that has been allowed to enter this country, and this thing is very convincing.
Not only allowed, sent.
Because God said he would send a strong delusion. Now, Donna, let me pause for a moment for the listeners who support Donald Trump, who may be listening right now and maybe getting angry, their arms are crossed, and they're saying, Nathan, how dare you? I believe Trump is going to make America great because he's just good. And now you're attributing it to some devil? Are you serious, Nathan? Yes, I am. Donna, that's what is going on right now.
We're not Norman Vincent Peale Christians. The power of positive thinking isn't going to change the book of Revelation.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you support Donald Trump, please take this matter to prayer and ask God if it is possible that you're being deceived. Ask him. It's a simple request, folks, because if God warns us, if Timothy tells us, if Thessalonians tells us, if we're told in the book of Revelation that great signs and wonders would deceive the remnant, if we are told in Daniel that the end time leader would be able to overcome the saints, how do the saints get overcome? It's not just that they get killed, it's that they are overcome with deception.
Yes.
To convince people to take the mark of the beast, that is eventually going to be the policy of the world. People are going to be deceived into doing it. It will be deception. When deception is taking place, there is not an announcement made in advance stating that, hey, everybody, this policy that has come forth, that is being mandated by the powers that be, is a trick. It's a deception. By the way, everybody show up at the neighborhood registration point and participate. They don't announce in advance that it's a deception.
No. Then it's not deception.
There's not a warning light first. It doesn't have horns.
No, there's no horns.
Satan portrays himself as
an angel of light.
An angel of light. Now, the non-Christian will not be able to understand this. The warning that I'm sharing right here will not be understood by a non-Christian, nor will a Christian with limited knowledge of spiritual warfare of the spiritual realm understand what I'm saying. But this is a part of what's taking place right now, Donna. I fully believe it. The Bible tells us that we're in the last days, that God would send a strong delusion. Jesus told us, be not deceived. How often can we say it? Delusion is taking place right now in Babylon.
And Nathan, you know, the interesting thing about this creature that you saw is that it had bat wings and its color was orange. Remember when you saw that golden eagle? We just talked about it several years ago. It had partial bat wings because it had a claw like a bat wing on the end of its wing.
That's what
it used to break open the eggs and get the yolk.
That thing was the same color.
And I always wondered about the color in reference to Obama, because Obama's not orange.
Exactly, Donna. That's why I mentioned that creature, the bat wings, and it was orange. And now I saw this thing gliding over America.
And Donald Trump gets those spray tans. He's orange.
Even Glenn Beck made fun of him.
And he's very tall, and you know the golden eagle is a much larger eagle.
And we're going to talk
eagle.
We're going to talk about that in a few moments, but this principality is at work right now. And when deception is working, folks, most people don't know it. Not during Hitler's time?
They didn't know. They had no idea where he was headed and what he was going to do, but it was all based in deception.
Even after Remember when they got the local community to see the camps? How many of them said, I didn't know, or I didn't think it, or...
I believe most of them said they had no idea that's what was going on.
Or some of them might have it heard, but they didn't believe it.
Well, even in America, before we entered the war, we didn't believe that could possibly be happening. And it was going on the whole time.
Right under their nose. You know, when you think of the Bolshevik Revolution?
Yeah.
They were made promises, and they really believed that it was going to work, didn't they?
They did, yes.
And then within a year or two, a few years, it was horrible. A nightmare in Soviet Russia. Horrible atrocities took place. Millions of people died, but they believed the deception. And that's how the devil works. And there have been many other world leaders that have come and gone. And we've heard that the Dominionist brethren out there, they believe that the church can make principalities go away. I've heard them say that. We're going to pray away and take authority over the principalities. But the Bible does not say this.
No.
Paul says we wrestle against them. He didn't say that the church can make them exit a country.
No, we can find mercy through prayer for our own lives and our own family.
Now, if America is Babylon, and I'm pretty sure most of our listeners understand that, America's Babylon.
Most of them, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you understand this. The Bible tells us in Revelation that Babylon has become, at some point, it will become entirely infested, the prison of every foul spirit and hateful bird.
Donna, that's what it says. It's written.
That golden creature that I saw, foul spirit, hateful bird, it was creepy looking, and it could fly, and it had wings. If Babylon is going to become the prison in the end times, and Revelation tells us that Babylon will be a prison for these principalities, the dominionists claim that principalities can be shipped off, and, you know, they're illegal alien principalities, and they must be sent away. Bible doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't. The church will wrestle with principalities until the very end, because the only thing that will defeat the principalities is Jesus.
When he arrives.
When he comes back, he will defeat them.
Amen. All right, now this next one that I'm going to share is very unique. It's very unique.
Can I say first that we have been raising animals for 6 years, and we have never had anything like this happen to us.
Don, I've never even heard of it.
I haven't either, and I know other people who raise animals, and I've never heard of this.
So where do I start? Well, let me preface it with this. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, you can see the color of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. So the signs of the times requires discernment to understand. So that means things happen in the lives of people that are signs. God does allow signs to take place.
It's not superstitious. It's in the Bible.
Yes. When God dealt with some of his servants and messengers and scribes and disciples, he often used actual prophetic object lessons in their life that were shadows of things that brought truth later on. You know, the things that Joseph went through were shadows of truth. They were prophetic object lessons. Mm-hmm. You know, Joseph, when he was thrown in, the way he was treated. So things that we go through at times are shadows of spiritual truth. Now, about a month and a half ago, Donna and I went out of town. We were gone for a few days. And while we were gone, Brennan, our oldest son, called us. He had just come home from church. Him and Ethan came home from church, and they were coming up our driveway. Our driveway goes along a pasture area where our sheep eat grass. And they were driving along our pasture, and Brennan looked over into the pasture, and he saw something that had happened. So he called us up to tell us about it. And he said, Dad, one of the baby lambs is dead in the field. And I asked him how, and he said, three of the biggest birds I've ever seen in my life are eating it. And I said, Brennan, what kind of birds are they? He went back down to look. They were three golden eagles eating the baby lamb. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with eagles, the golden eagle is the biggest one of the eagle family, at least in America. They grow up to 45 inches tall.
And huge.
When they spread their wings, they are massive. And a golden eagle can kill a wolf, a coyote, a full-grown deer. They are very powerful. It's amazing what these creatures can do. They are majestic. And there were three golden eagles eating one of our baby lambs that was just a few months old. So our son called us up, and he said, Dad, these things are eating. What do I do? We didn't want the eagles to eat any of the other lambs, so I told him, let it lay in the field and let them have that one because we don't want them to
be attracted to the other ones, right?
So a day went by and the golden eagles were gone. My son said, they're gone. But then an interesting development happened. The next day, he called me up and he said, Dad, the golden eagles are gone, but now a bald eagle is eating the lamb. A bald eagle took over, Donna.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they eat carrion, so they were after the dead animal.
An American bald eagle.
They didn't kill. They don't kill. They not.
Well, they might kill some. They didn't kill our lamb.
No, they eat carrion.
They eat carrion. So when we got home, we were coming up our driveway, and I look over into the pasture. I see a bald eagle sitting on a dead sheep, eating it.
Yes.
Donna, do you remember this? And I said, Donna, that is not a baby lamb. That's a grown-up lamb that the bald eagle's eating.
She was a two-year-old ewe. Her name was Hermonda.
So what we figured out had happened was the golden eagle had killed the mother and the lamb initially, 2 days earlier, and then the bald eagle ate it. Of course, we were sad. We went out there and got rid of the carcasses. And when we got to the carcass, Donna, do you remember?
There was nothing left on the inside of her. It was mostly just skin and
fur.
The stuff they couldn't eat was pretty much
they
what
ate
was left.
The whole inside of even the mama. So
she didn't smell at all. There was nothing left to smell.
They ate everything. So a few days went by, and I asked you, do you think this means something? We didn't know. Mm-hmm. We didn't know. But over the course of now several weeks, I have been seeking God about it, and I fully believe in my heart of hearts, and Donna, you bear witness, that this is a prophetic message, not just for our family, but this is an actual prophetic message for the listeners out there, for the church. This is a prophetic object lesson of something that's going to happen.
I agree, yes.
Of the developments of this country. And this is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. The mother sheep with her lamb were killed by a golden eagle. Now, in my prophetic dream a few years ago, it was a golden eagle. Remember the bald eagle turned into a golden eagle, Donna, and it was eating the eggs? A golden eagle killed. And I think the reason it killed the mother is because the mother was trying to protect it.
Yeah, the mother was probably down there screaming for her baby. Because they kill by picking it up and dropping it over and over again until it dies.
And by the way, our son Brennan said that he saw it lift the lamb and then drop it a couple of times. So the message here is that here in America, our symbolic bird is the bald eagle. But eventually, Donna, we are going to see, and this is what the message is, the golden eagle dined on the sheep, on our sheep and its baby. Here's the message. The golden eagle represents, by the way, orange gold. The golden eagle represents what is coming to the future of America. America is going to morph into a new creature. And this creature is what America is going to turn into, a golden type eagle that is more aggressive. It is twice as strong as the bald eagle. By the way, Donna, do you remember Hitler had an eagle as its representative,
yes.
The symbol?
Mm-hmm, I do. Was it not a golden eagle?
Maybe. Yes. So in America's future, ladies and gentlemen, the honesty and the nobleness and the integrity and the heroism that we see in the symbol of the bald eagle, you know, the majesty of the bald eagle, it stands for honor. You know, there's something majestic about a bald eagle.
Yes.
But it's going to turn into a golden eagle. It's not going to be that majestic bird that believes in just weights and measures. It's going to be a new creature that dines on the citizens because the golden eagle killed the sheep and its baby. So in the future, the golden eagle is going to consume its citizens. The bald eagle that is the representative symbol of America in the background will be taken over or work side by side with this new thing, this new creature, the golden eagle. So now, Donna, watch this. We have the prophetic dream of the eagle and the fox,
mm-hmm.
nest eggs, bat right. wing. And then I saw this creature that was gargoyle, gold,
right,
gliding over the country. And then we actually had this prophetic object lesson where eagles killed the sheep. Now, the golden eagle is also going to be this. It represents a very cruel
and unmerciful.
A cruel and unmerciful type of new government that's coming.
It's a very aggressive.
Aggressive, violent, unmerciful, mm-hmm. forget the Constitution. Persecution's coming to the sheep in America, Donna. That's what this means. And as it's going on, the bald eagle, when people try to appeal to what used to be the foundation of America, the honesty of America, the Constitution, mm-hmm. the bald eagle's going to stand aside. And then when the remnants of the victims are there, it's going to dine on them as well. Because the bald eagle then ate the leftovers of our sheep. We have talked about this. We have sought clarity from God, and you and I have had private conversations.
We have, and we see that in America's future, the American government, it's going to become schizophrenic. It'll be violent and merciful, just like it says in the book of Revelation. And it'll bring grief to the citizens, including us, God's people. Persecution is coming. And in its schizophrenia and confusion, when some believe that there is faith in the traditional American government, you know, like the bald eagle, the results will be a completely unmerciful golden eagle.
Ladies and gentlemen, make note of this. Make note of this, write it down, and pray about it. Donna, God has shown me in not only prophetic images, not only with the principality, but now in real time. The golden eagle is coming, and based on my observation, if he wins, Donald Trump will be the golden eagle. He has the head of gold. In the coming segments, we're going to talk about the head of gold on Donald Trump, because it gets a little bit eerie. If we really place this on the table, Donna, and if we're honest with ourselves, it can become a little spooky. Because while everybody's cheering and saying all is well,
peace, peace.
Thank you. Peace, peace. There's another side of the coin. And based on what we're finding, it's going to be proven and confirmed or not in the next year, whether I'm sharing the truth right now. In the next year, we're going to know. And if we do see that Donald Trump turns out to be a Ronald Reagan that makes America great, ladies and gentlemen, let me say for the record, I will repent and I will admit that I got it wrong.
But not just fiscally great. There are other things that have to happen for America to be great. We're not talking financially.
Okay, thank you, Donna. We need to qualify that.
If revival comes, if abortion is done away with, if transgenderism is no more because people have gone back to being male or female, if those types of things are done away with under Donald Trump, then we will have to repent.
I have no problem with that. That's okay with me, because that would mean that we did get a reprieve and that our children have a future and a chance. Now, I have one more prophetic dream. Actually, it's not one, but they happened on the same night. It's two prophetic dreams that occurred one after another, and these occurred just a few days ago. I have been seeking God, and these ones, for the most part, explain themselves. But I have to share them because I need to lay down. You know, people are sharing prophecies that are peace about Donald Trump. I have to share what God has shown me. Now, I understand some people may throw out the challenge. Donna, they may say, okay, Nathan, you're sharing your prophetic vision and dream, but how do we know that yours is right and the other ones are wrong? How do we know, Donna? The best way that I can answer that is to just say this. You will know them by their fruits. And if you've been a regular listener to Watchman's Cry, the fruit of this ministry stands for itself. I have confidence in the fruit of the messages that I have shared about repentance, about living holy for God, about seeking Him, about seeking righteousness. This ministry has not based itself on flowery words that sugarcoat reality. We have done the utmost best to share the truth of what time it is. Donna, I have a new prophetic glimpse. A few days ago on May the 9th, it was actually two prophetic dreams that occurred back to back. Part of these two prophetic dreams are self-explanatory, but there are other parts that may not be known until they occur. I consider these to be warning prophetic dreams because they have to do with Donald Trump and they have to do with events that are approaching America. In the first one, I was standing on the edge of a four-lane highway. I was standing on the right lane. Traffic on those four lanes was stopped, and they were several cars deep. The bumpers were side by side like they would be at a traffic light, and I don't know why they were stopped. And about 200 feet in front of these vehicles, the road ended. It was a T-intersection, which required the traffic to either turn to the left or to the right. And if they did not turn and kept on going straight, they would drive into buildings that were there. The line of traffic that I saw was about 5 to 10 cars deep, and approaching from behind them was a semi. It was pulling a trailer, and it was moving very quickly. And as it got closer, I saw that the semi was pulling a real house that was cut in half. It was like a house moving semi, and the semi was pulling it, and it was approaching the stopped traffic. It was going like 30 miles an hour, maybe 40, and it tried to put on its brakes, and it wasn't stopping. And as it got closer, I was bracing myself for the impact because it was going to rear in all of the stopped vehicles. It tried to go around them, and it went to the left, and it went up on the embankment. And along the road on the left side across from me were front yards and then actual houses as well. So when the semi went around the stop traffic to the left, it went up across the curb, it went across the sidewalk, and then it was going across front yards, yeah, bouncing on the grass, trying to maintain its course because it didn't have any brakes, but then it lost control and the semi started to jackknife toward the left and it went into one of the houses. So the house crashed into another house. As I was in the dream, I was thinking to myself, wow, the houses crashed.
The divided house crashed into another house.
Yes. And as soon as that happened, then all of the cars that were stopped at the same time started moving forward. The drivers who were in those cars were pounding their feet on the brakes, trying to stop from going forward. And I saw that the drivers in these vehicles became panicked because they couldn't stop their vehicles either. It was like the semi-truck pulling the house couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. So now these vehicles all started moving forward, but in front of them, the road ended about 200 feet because there was a T in the road and they either had to turn left or turn right. As the two left lanes approached their end of the road, they tried to turn left to make the turn, but they were going too fast. They made a partial turn and then they went into the building. So going to the left didn't save them because they crashed into the buildings that were in front of them. And the same thing happened to the two right lanes. They tried to turn to the right and they crashed. And as I was watching this mess, it was loud. The commercial traffic crashed left, right, didn't save. And then instantly a structure appeared right over me. And it was the oddest thing because it was an upper level bridge that appeared over me. Have you ever seen in the big city sometimes there's a bridge over a street below it? You have an upper and the lower. It appeared over me. And it was across all four lanes, the entire distance of the street. The bridge that appeared was very odd looking because it was made out of steel girders. It looked like scaffolding.
Like a skeleton of a bridge.
It was like a skeleton. They weren't covered with concrete. It was like, yeah, an erector set. There was no pavement. It was just the girders going across. It was full of cars up above, but they were just balancing on these girders. Suddenly, this erector set scaffolding bridge that was over me started swaying to the left and to the right. It started leaning to the left, and then it came over and leaned to the right, and it kept going back and forth, and I was thinking, oh, man, this thing's going to crash right on me, because I was in the right lane. I wasn't out from under it, and I thought to myself, now, if I try to escape to the left side, I'll have to cross three lanes of traffic, and then I'll be out from under it, but that's too far, and besides, what if it collapses to the left? It's going to crush me, and then I thought the same thing about exiting to my right, which was only about 10 to 15 feet away. It wasn't far, but the way that the thing was swaying back and forth above me, I thought it could collapse to the right and crush me. So I knew escaping to the right wasn't going to help either. So left or right wouldn't save me, so I decided to run forward to get out from under it. And as I did, it started collapsing behind me, and the whole structure was falling down. I told myself, man, I hope I'm going to make it. And then I was so close to the end, and I thought to myself, okay, I hope those girders are crashing behind me. I hope the front ones don't come down. And sure enough, Donna, the girders in front of me up above started coming down. I was crying out for God's mercy, and they started falling in slow motion.
So that was like God's mercy slowing them down for you?
So the crash in front of me was slowed down so that I could get out. And I did. I made it out, and then the whole thing came down. And when I was in front of it, this lady came up to me, and I asked her, did anyone get hurt? And she said, yes, there's people under there that have died. They were crushed by the collapse. The collapse killed them.
Wow.
It woke me up. And then I closed my eyes and I was instantly in another dream. And in this new one, I was standing in a field, but I couldn't see anything around me. And the only object that was visible was a giant oak door in front of me. And this door maybe was 15 feet away. I could hear around me sounds. I could hear voices. It was our children singing. There was music playing in the background.
They were joyful.
They were happy and joyful, yes. I didn't look for them. I didn't seek to talk to them in the dream. I just could hear them behind me, and everything was good. I walked to the oak door that was in front of me. When I reached out to pull it open, now, by the way, this door was about 6 feet wide, 10 feet tall, and it was not a square shape. It had like one of those pointed arches. That,
like a castle door almost.
It was an arch where it's kind of pointy in the middle toward the top. And when I reached out to open it, the second it had cracked open, all of the noise stopped. I could no longer hear our kids, the children. The music stopped. It was total silence. And it was the oddest thing because usually in dreams I can hear wind or birds singing or cars driving. You can hear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I opened the door, all the sound stopped. And when I got it halfway open, it was like I was sucked through it, like if it was a vacuum cleaner that was on. I didn't walk through it. I was sucked through it when I opened it. And instantly, I found myself in the middle of a downtown street of a very, very large city. It was almost like New York City. And I was looking straight up, and I could see the buildings on each side. My head was tilted up. So I could see the tops of the buildings on both sides of the street. I was able to see probably 5 blocks in front of me on both sides. And the buildings, here's the thing that was odd. The buildings did not look modern. They looked like downtown buildings from the 1930s.
So maybe like Brooklyn?
I'm not sure what
an older section in New York.
Yeah, but here's what was weird. You know, today, modern buildings are glass.
Yes.
And metal. Remember in the old days how the buildings were concrete and or brick and mortar with square, boring windows?
Yes.
That's what the buildings looked like. They looked old, where they were made out of brick or concrete. And every building was the same color. It was kind of dirty white.
Monotonous,
a grayish white color. And here's the thing that was weird. I could see 5 blocks in front of me, Donna, from where I was, looking forward, 5 blocks of the tops of buildings. And every building on the left side and on the right side, the tops, I could see all the way to the tops. So I was probably looking at 10 or 15 buildings on each side. So total 20 to 30 buildings. Every building had a sign on the very top that said Trump. Every one of them.
Wow.
And the color of the signs were red, white, and blue. The letters were white. The background was blue. And there was red along the edges. The signs are on every building like it's required. Mm-hmm. This is the rule. This
like
is
the Nazi flag, kind of.
Yeah. You know how Lenin had his face? Mm. And Saddam Hussein had his face and posters of him everywhere?
Right.
In the dream, I was thinking, wow, this is required. This is weird. Why? Why is Trump's name on everything, on all the buildings? And I didn't know, and then the dream was over. The big question, and I'm still trying to figure it out, why was Trump's name on everything? So I got to wonder, Donna, if he's going to become the president, is he going to want to name everything after himself? Does this mean policies and mandates and structures, projects are all going to be named after him? Is he going
Maybe.
To do that?
Maybe. The one thing I noticed about these dreams is that in reality, there were 3 different dreams, not just 2, even though you only had 2 separate dreams because they were 3 different scenes. The first one was the traffic, the house cut in half on the semi-tractor trailer. And in that one, there was a situation where it was right or left. And then you had the dream where the bridge that was just girders was falling and the choice was right or left. And then in this one, you're looking down 5 blocks, and you see both right and left, and they're exactly the same. And that seems to be the repeating theme that was going on. The result is the same, right or left.
Destruction would happen either
right
left
or left
or right. Yeah, that's good, Donna. The traffic at the T in the road, right or left, couldn't save it. And then I wondered, could I go right and left? And that wouldn't save me because it would crush me.
But God had mercy because you went straight.
Right.
Truth. Truth is straight, like an arrow. And right. Then he gave you a glimpse.
And then of the future world, left and right.
Where left and right is exactly the same.
Now, I don't know if this is literal. I want to say that, ladies and gentlemen, I am not proclaiming that Trump is going to, first of all, win the election and then instruct everybody to put his name on every building in the country. I'm not saying that.
But I don't even think that's necessarily the point of the dream.
What do you think it is?
I think it has to do with the fact that if Trump wins, it doesn't matter. There is no dividing line, right or left.
With Trump, there's no left and right.
You could say with Hillary, there's definitely a left. But with Trump, there really is no difference. He just is who he is. But destruction is coming from both sides.
Destruction. So here's the question, Donna. The houses crashed.
The divided house crashed into a house.
Does that mean it's a housing crash? Or does it mean that the actual political house, congressional house?
I think the house on the tractor trailer was political. It's the right versus left. They're divided. But they're on the same tractor trailer.
The same truck was pulling both yeah. sides.
They crashed into a house.
Yes.
A neighborhood house. So something is going to happen. I'm just, you know, throwing out there that somehow the house divided is going to cause another housing crash.
So that's something to put on the table?
That's what I'm wondering when I hear that. And, you know, when you wake up and you often tell me your dreams, you know, I'm wondering, is that pizza? I don't know. Maybe that's pizza. When you told me this one, I had no doubt that this was a prophetic dream. And I remember saying to you, you need to put that out, and you need to put it out now.
So this one we're still praying about, ladies and gentlemen. It's so new, but I have to present it because Trump was involved in my prophetic dream. So what's the message here? Does it mean that Trump's going to make America great? Does this give confirmation of those claims, or does it place on the table that we're in trouble? In order to answer that, when we include the previous ones about that principality that was orange, and then the eagle's going to turn orange, and then the prophetic sign about our actual sheep getting killed by an orange golden eagle.
Yes.
Trump is the golden eagle. If he wins, he's the golden eagle. Now, if Hillary wins, then we'll deal with that. But at this point, let us just say this because we're running out of time for this first segment. I just want to say this, ladies and gentlemen. While many of the prophecies that have been stated about Trump making America great mean well, and I am pretty sure that the individuals giving those prophetic messages are sincere, I have to give them the benefit of the doubt, Don. I don't think they're purposely trying to trick everybody. So I want to at least give that. However, they can be sincere and be wrong, because that's not what I am hearing from the Holy Spirit. The Dash warning lights are going crazy right now with this whole thing about Donald Trump's honesty, that he's going to make us great, he's going to save us. Donald, my spiritual radar does not bear witness with that message. And I think...
Neither does mine. Not in the least.
And the listeners who are awake out there, who know what time it is, can also bear witness, because we have been contacted by hundreds of people who have stated the same thing. I placed an article a few days ago about Donald Trump. What if he's not as honest as what we're thinking?
Mm-hmm.
What if? That has to be laid on the table. And I think for the most part from our listeners, Donna, we are having overwhelming support that they're wondering the same thing. They're concerned.
Yeah.
They are. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be part one of a very long expose. I have probably 3 to 4 more hours of deep research that I'm going to be bringing, but I wanted to start out by laying on the table the spiritual aspect of this situation. Because as Christians and as end time remnant believers of God, we cannot leave out the spiritual, Donna. We can't just look at the words on a hat and say it's true, and I'm going to believe it's true, close my eyes, and just go with it. We can't do that. That's not wise.
No.
We are not told to behave that way. Now, in the next segment, we're going to break down the admonition from God. We're going to look at what the Bible tells us on how we're supposed to behave as far as vigilance in the end times. We are told what we're supposed to do.
Yes, we're going to talk about the 10 virgins, the 5 being wise and the 5 being foolish.
We're going to break that down, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going to be interesting because, well, you just got to hear it. And we're also going to talk about the other admonition from Jesus.
About the leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, but also the leaven of Herod.
Of Herod. Beware of the leaven of Herod. And in our case, Donna, who's Herod?
Maybe Trump.
So beware of Trump's leaven. Jesus says that. And we're going to talk about it. This is the Bible, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
We're using scripture. And then we're also going to look. We're going to do this. We're going to look at actual facts of Trump's coming administration, the people he has surrounded himself with, and we're going to look at some of the, Donna, I know no other way to put it than to say the outlandish.
That's a good way to put it.
Promises and claims that he has made.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to lay on the table reality. I think we've been able to uncover already several of the promises he's made.
He's backpedaling or just changed his mind because he is very flexible. I don't know if you realize that. He's a very flexible man.
No, it's not going to be the Trump doctrine. And you know what I say? It won't be the Trump doctrine, because in life you have to be flexible. You have to have flexibility. You have to change.
You have to change, Donna. Here's more.
You know, you may say one thing and then the following year you want to change it because circumstances are different.
He's going to be flexible. He said that, Donna.
Yes.
He said, when I say something, that doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Or
and he says you cannot hold to any sort of doctrine. You must be flexible.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this program. I know that we shared a lot of things that could be disturbing. And for the individual who struggles with this, if you're out there and you find it difficult to hear a critique about candidate Trump, we're not doing it because of hatred. We're not doing it because of an agenda. Well, actually, we do have an agenda, Don. It's called truth. It's called being vigilant. It's called...
We're standing on the word. That's our agenda, is to always stand on his word.
And what does that mean?
It means having our flashlight on in the end times.
What's our flashlight?
Our oil and our lamp.
That's the flashlight. So can't turn it off, can we, Donna?
No. It's going to be dark.
All right. Well, Donna, thank you for coming on board and helping me. We've missed you.
Thanks for having me.
The listeners have missed you. And ladies and gentlemen, let us know what you think of our program. If you appreciate what we're doing here, you can let us know. Send us an email. Go to watchmanscry.com. And if you appreciate what we're doing, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll share this program with your friends and family. We're going to have another 3 to 4 hours of very in-depth study. It's going to be out in a few days. And until then, stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.